The Sessions at Midori House was originally broadcast on Monocle 24 on the 25th of April, 2015.
I'll take a little bit of bass as well.
You can turn it up a little bit, just a teeny bit. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, test mic.
Rolling?
Let's do it, man.
You're listening to The Sessions at Midori House. I'm Paul Noble, and today we welcome Jared Lawson into the studio. He was born into a musical family and started off on the drums, and that rhythmic sensibility can clearly be heard in his virtuoso piano playing on his eponymous album, not just on the piano. He's the full package, singing, writing and producing, with stylistic nods to his heroes Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway. There's also traces of the missing in action psychedelic soul talent Lewis Taylor, as well as neo-soul groove merchants Bilal and D'Angelo. He came into the studios for a session and a catch-up. Here he is with I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Looking back on when I was a little nappy-headed boy, then my only worry was for Christmas, what would be my toy? Even though we sometimes would not get a thing, we were happy with the joy the day would bring. Sneaking out the back door to hang out with those hoodlum friends of mine. I greeted at the back door, boy, I thought I told you not to go outside. Trying your best to bring the water to your eyes, thinking it might stop her from whipping your behind. I wish those days could come back once more. I did those days ever have to go. I wish those days could come back once more. I did those days ever have to go, 'cause I love them so. Brother says he's telling, why don't you play a doctor with that girl? Just don't tell her, I'll give you anything you want in this whole wide world. You grow up and learn that kind of thing ain't right, but while you were doing it, sure felt out of sight. I wish those days could come back once more. I did those days ever have to go. I wish those days could come back once more. I did those days ever have to go, 'cause I love them so.
Jared Lawson, thank you very much for that fantastic session. We were spellbound behind the glass. How's that for you in here?
Felt great in here. It was really nice.
A cozy little studio too set up. Let's talk to the roots of your music, because you didn't start on the keyboard, incredibly. And you can probably hear that in your keyboard playing now. It's very rhythmic. You started on the drums.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Yeah, I grew up basically in a recording studio. And yeah, the drums were my first instrument when I was really about 2 years old.
So do you ever remember being taught, or did you just pick it up and say, oh, I know what I'm doing here?
Yeah, I mean, lessons were never really like a thing that happened in my life. Yeah, even when it came to the piano, I had some tutelage from my father early on, but for the most part, I just, in general, with instruments of any kind, I just kind of follow my ears and let my fingers do the rest.
And so you're from a very musical family, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my father, back when he was in his early 20s, well, around the time when we were living in the studio in Redwood City, California, he had a band It was kind of a soulful sort of rock-ish type band. And they were, you know, opening up for the Doobie Brothers and
Steve Miller. Give us the name, because someone out there is thinking, I wonder who the man is.
Steve Lawson Band is what it was. And yeah, so unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, he sort of spoiled the situation with Elektra Records, where he was about to sign a contract with them. And I think he kind of told him to go fly a kite.
Take a walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Tossing and turning, it's late. Oh, 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 just can't rest. Waiting for the phone to ring.
And so, paint a picture for us. What was on the stereo in the Lawson household as you're growing up?
I definitely remember hearing a lot of Stevie Wonder, you know, Sam Cooke, Aretha Franklin. A lot of just old soul records were being played when I was a kid. You know, Etta James and Otis Redding, just all that old good stuff, man, you know.
And what sort of in reading about you and looking into your past, the two names that keep coming up are Stevie Wonder and Donny Hathaway.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you think, but I feel with Donny Hathaway, he was this enormous talent. And I'd feel like almost today, he's almost been forgotten. But I don't feel like people are really talking about him. There's the sort of soul fans who know and love him. And then for everyone else, he's almost disappeared.
Yeah, maybe that has something to do with the fact that, I mean, he wrote some great songs, but in terms of their mass appeal, I don't think he really got there.
He didn't have that one hit that entered the canon.
Right. Yeah, I think his greatest selling piece of all time was Where Is the Love, I believe.
Yeah.
The duet with Roberta Flack.
Yeah.
Which is a great song, one of my favorites. But yeah, you compare it to, you know, something like, you know, some of Michael Jackson's hits that just topped the charts. You know, it's unfortunate.
Okay.
You know, Donnie's probably my favorite singer of all time. And
I mean, it is. It's,
he'll never
it's like
be
the
forgotten.
Ultimate, it's the ultimate soul voice, really, isn't it? When
truly, truly.
Okay, let's move on from Donnie and talk about you and this album.
3 days ago, rolled over to an empty bed.
I first heard it probably 6 months ago, and I got sent it, and there's you in the cover with a sort of very gothic font, and I thought, okay, this is going to be some kind of metal madness, and put it on, and there it was, this sort of beautifully realised, intensely musical, you know, very deep, very high production values, huge multi-part harmonies going on. How was that process of writing and recording the album for you?
I call it a decade-long project, really. The recording took about 3.5 to 4 years, but in terms of the writing and just realizing the vision and what it was going to look like, it really all started probably about 10 years ago. And you know, some of these songs I started writing and I didn't like pieces of them, and so I sort of let them go and I replaced parts with other parts, and you know, and then other songs come to me all at once and they're kind of just right. I don't know. It's interesting the way that inspiration comes to you.
No notice, no letter. You just packed your things and left. Girl, I deserve better. I treated you like no one else. How could you? You know I'd love you and I thought this love was true. Now we're through. Tell me, what am I gonna do? Gotta start a new life without you. Now we're through. What to do? Gotta start a new life without you. Tell me, when will you call?
And was this a collaborative effort, or was this you on your own heads down in the studio saying, I've got this, I know what this needs to sound like? Or was there a sort of element of jamming and working with other people on this?
This was all pretty unilateral. This was the Control Freaks dream.
The Brian Wilson.
Project, yeah. For sure. I mean, I definitely, you know, I have my core musicians, Christopher Friesen, my bass player, and Josh Corey, my drummer, who I definitely, you know, welcomed advice or their opinions about whatever I was doing production-wise. And maybe I changed things, maybe I didn't. In general, I think they didn't necessarily see the vision the way that I did. So it's difficult to let other people's opinions come in when they don't see the final goal that you see, you know? So I think in general, in terms of the production, I tried to keep it, you know, of one mind.
Yeah, be the dictator.
Mm-hmm.
I always was a dreamer, yeah, yeah, yeah. Never hearing the things that my daddy was saying to me. And musically inclined, my mind was always preoccupied. Dreaming of the day when the music I make might affect a change. 'Cause I believe that music and love have the power to heal. Tantamount to these, compassion, tolerance, and empathy. 'Cause we all experience pain, yeah, yeah, and we all feel the strains. So everybody, won't you come along and rest your weary bones upon my soul symphony? Oh, yeah. My soul symphony. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. My soul symphony. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. This is my soul symphony. All your pain, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do, da, 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 da. Have the power to heal. Tantamount to these, yeah. Compassion, tolerance, and empathy. 'Cause we all experience pain, yeah, yes, we do. And we all feel the strains. So everybody, won't you come along and rest your weary bones upon my soul symphony. Oh, oh, oh yeah. Ah, my soul symphony. Da, 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 ah, oh, oh yeah. This is my soul symphony. Oh, 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 yeah. this is my soul symphony. I only pray that it may relieve you of all your pain. This song was made to take away your pain, yeah. My symphony. Ooh, this is my symphony.
You've been listening to The Sessions at Midori House. Today's guest was Jared Lawson, whose album, Jared Lawson, is out now on Dome Records. He is playing shows across Europe, ending on May the 3rd, and just head to jaredlawsonmusic.com for the full story. The show was produced by Holly Fisher, mixed superbly by Alex Funnell, and I'm Paul Noble. Join us again at the same time next week for more music. But for now, thanks for listening.